My pseudonym is Frida Kahlo, and I'm here today with Katja Kollwitz, and we are two of the founding members of the Guerrilla Girls. You may know... Over the years, close to 100 women have worked in our group, and today we see out there among you, and we've talked to many of you already, many, many past, present, and hopefully future members of our group. First, we want to express our deep appreciation and thanks to those women. We can't ask them to stand up and be acknowledged for obvious reasons, but we want everyone to know that they're there. So take a minute, look at the woman next to you. She just might be a Guerrilla Girl.
We also want to express our deepest, sincerest thanks to the Museum of Modern Art for making us all so angry 23 years ago that we started the Guerrilla Girls. Now, here's how it happened. In 1984, the Museum of Modern Art opened an exhibition called An International Survey of Painting and Sculpture. It was supposed to be an up-to-the-minute summary of the most significant contemporary art in the world. The only problem was it contained only 13 out of 169, I mean, only 13 women artists out of 169, and there were even fewer artists of color.
You know, that was bad enough, but the curator, Kynaston McShine, made a public statement that any artist who wasn't in the show should rethink his career. So you all know that pissed off a lot of women artists. There was a demonstration in front of the museum with all the usual placards and a picket line, but it had no effect at all. That was our aha moment. We looked at each other and said,
there's got to be a better way. We've got to use more contemporary techniques to convince people. So we got together a bunch of great women artists. We named ourselves the Guerrilla Girls, and we started sneaking around New York in the middle of the night, putting up posters.
You know, we like to think of ourselves as feminist masked Avengers in the tradition of those anonymous do-gooders like Robin Hood, Batman, and of course Wonder Woman. And I'm sure we're not telling you anything new, but we used facts, humor, and outrageous visuals to expose sexism, racism, and corruption in the art world, and then also in the world of politics, film, and pop culture. We take the names of dead women artists as pseudonyms, and this anonymity keeps the focus on the issues, and it has for many years, and away from our personalities.
One of our goals is to undermine the idea of a mainstream narrative in the production of visual culture. How? By revealing the understory, the subtext, the forgotten, the overlooked, the understated, and the downright unfair. Kind of the opposite of what goes on in an institution like this. We use information in a surprising, transgressive manner to prove our case, revealing the hypocrisy in cultural and political institutions. You know, we believe some discrimination is conscious, but there's also a lot that's unconscious, and we think we can ridicule and embarrass the perpetrators into changing their ways. We also want to change people's minds about the F word, feminism. In 2001, the girls evolved into three separate groups: Guerrilla Girls, Guerrilla Girls Broadband, and Guerrilla Girls on Tour.
In the last few years, our group, the Guerrilla Girls, has been really busy. This is some of the things we've done: stickers, billboards, posters. We've written several books, including The Guerrilla Girls' Bedside Companion to the History of Western Art, and Bitches, Bimbos, and Ball Breakers, the Guerrilla Girls' Illustrated Guide to Female Stereotypes. We also manage a well-trafficked website, which we invite you all to visit, GorillaGirls.com. And in 2005, we created a large-scale installation for the Venice Biennale. We also brainstormed with Greenpeace, and we participated in Amnesty International's Stop Violence Against Women International campaign.
In 2006, we unveiled our latest anti-film industry billboard in Hollywood, just in time for the Oscars. We also created large-scale projects for Istanbul and Mexico City. Our work has appeared in the New York Times, the London Times, the New Yorker, Bitch, many zines around the world, NPR, BBC, CBC, and in lots of art and feminist texts. We've made appearances all over the US as well as in the Netherlands and Spain, and also the UK, where a room of early Guerrilla Girls posters is at the Tate Modern in London. Our work is passed around by our tireless supporters. We get thousands of letters each year from all over the world, people telling us about their lives and about their activism. We could be anyone. We are everywhere.
You know, we love art and artists, but let's all face it, the art world sucks. The following information is lifted mostly from our Guerrilla Girls Art Museum activity book. It's our parody of those cute books that museums sell to children to teach them to appreciate art. Only this one encourages everyone to criticize museums.
A brief history of museums. It all began because rich people have always had a lot of stuff. A few centuries ago, they ran out of space in their palaces and churches and needed new places to put it all. Bingo, art museums. Now, lots of the art you see today in museums was originally stolen. Now, countries, native peoples, and families are trying to get their things back. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers, until you get really bad press.
You know, everybody thinks that the art world is getting better in its treatment of women artists. Is it? Let's go back to our poster from 1989, where we went to the Metropolitan Museum to conduct what we like to call the weenie count. We counted naked males and naked females in the artworks in the museum to see what the result was. And here it is. Do women have to be naked to get into the Met Museum? Less than 5% of the artists in the modern art section are women, but 85% of the nudes are female.
Okay, so in 2005, we went back to the Met and counted again. And even we thought things would be much, much better, but this is what we found. A few less women artists and a few more naked males. Is this progress?
Let's all take a museum quiz.
Which of these fashion houses has not purchased an exhibit of its own work at a major museum?
Prada. The Met organized a Christian Dior show in 1996, funded by Dior, and a Cartier show in 97, funded by Cartier. The Guggenheim accepted $5 million from Armani, the very year it mounted a major exhibition of Armani Design. Hey, Miuccia, if you're out there, what are you waiting for? A museum show costs a whole lot less than a major ad campaign.
All right, how much do art collectors pay to get their private collections shown in a museum?
Answer number one, nothing. Museums fall all over themselves to exhibit people's art collections in the hope that afterwards, the art will get donated to the museum.
Answer number two, plenty, but it's worth it. In 1999, the Brooklyn Museum opened a show of contemporary British art from the collection of Charles Saatchi. He secretly gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for the show. After the show, Saatchi auctioned off work by the same artist and received record prices.
What artist had two retrospectives at MoMA while his art dealer was the brother of the chief curator?
It's Frank Stella. Stella had a MoMA retrospective in 1970 and again in 1987. Stella's dealer in Europe just happened to be Lawrence Rubin, brother of MoMA curator Bill Rubin. Bill Rubin retired from MoMA in 1988, and you know, Stella hasn't had a retrospective since.
Is this the number of cocktail parties MoMA gave last week to entice money from hedge fund managers?
Probably, but six is also the also this paltry number of retrospectives and mid-career surveys MoMA gave to women artists over their last 10 years. Now, someone out there is probably saying, well, wait, 6 out of 10, is that really paltry? Well, it's paltry because it was only 18% of the total number of shows. 82% were given to male artists, and only one exhibit during that time was given to a woman of color, Yayo Kusama.
11, the number of trustees with sweatshops in Asia? No. That's the percentage of women in MoMA's entire architecture and design collection.
Lucky 13, that's the percentage of women artists in MoMA's painting and sculpture collection.
Don't worry, the numbers are going up. 17, percentage of women in prints and illustrated books.
18, women in drawings.
19, photography.
And, huh? MoMA has no idea how many women are in its film collection.
According to MoMA, almost no women artists are good enough to be in a show about which subject? A. A, war, and B, still life.
The answer is still life. In 1997, MoMA curator Margit Ruel organized a show called Objects of Desire, the Modern Still Life. Despite the fact that throughout centuries of Western art, still life was one of the few categories of art open to women, Margit included only 3 white women and 1 woman of color out of 71 artists in her show. So we sent her hundreds of postcards suggesting she change the show's title to The Objects of MoMA's Desire Are Still White Males.
You know, buildings or museums are always competing to create the most unusual building. Attention, famous architects out there. Here's a concept for your next museum job. All you have to do is connect the dots to create the perfect museum floor plan.
And in case anyone didn't get it, okay, can you make money from a museum while you're on its board of trustees?
$11 million says yes. That's what Count Giuseppe Ponza di Biomo got paid in 1990 for selling part of his art collection to the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles. He was, of course, on the board of directors at the time.
You know, we're always trying to improve museums, and whenever we see a museum store, we can't help but think of some of the products we'd like to see there.
Diversity in American museums. 50 years behind baseball.
The Whitney, none of our present board members own jobs.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art, highest paid director, lowest paid curators.
And, for everybody, a cubist blow-up doll. With 12 orifices, this babe's got something to keep everyone happy.
Recently, the Gorilla Girls have been faced by a big dilemma. What do you do when the system you criticize embraces you? In 2005, we were asked to do a large-scale installation at the Venice Biennale. This year, our work is in the Tate Modern in London and in museums in the Netherlands, Spain, and Istanbul. There's a show in Athens coming up in May. And today, here we are at MoMA. We're not in a show, of course, we're just talking.
All right, so what's a girl activist to do? We've agonized and agonized over this, but for now we decided that we do want to participate in exhibits and appearances at museums because one of our goals has always been to get our work out to as wide an audience as possible. Plus, it's always a thrill to attack an institution on its own walls or at its own symposium.
So here's what we did in Venice. We did an installation of 6 17-foot posters that were the very first thing that viewers saw when they entered the exhibition hall of the Arsenale.
One of the things we did also was take on the Biennale itself, documenting 110 years of discrimination. But we also declared it was the first feminist Biennale in 110 years. Why? Because it was the first time there were women directors, and surprise, there were more women artists than ever before.
We also discovered that every historical museum in Venice, except one, does have work by women artists in their collection. But almost all of the art by women is kept in the basement, not hanging on the walls. So we appropriated this iconic image of Marcello Mastroianni straddling Anita Ekberg in the Fellini film La Dolce Vita. And at the bottom, we demanded that viewers go to the museums of Venice and tell them they want more women on top.
Then we put this demand on coasters and got them into bars all over Europe.
And we interviewed women artists in Turkey and told their fortune in coffee grounds.
So that's a little, So that's a little bit of our take on feminism and activism. We're planning a lot more work about politics, especially politics, but also more work about art and culture. So, I don't know, our advice is do what we do, keep making trouble, don't stop speaking up, and keep finding, trying at least to find new and better ways to do it all the time.
Thank you.